Well, I love you guys. Thanks for coming out. We're going to go into scripture. I know you're still standing, but I want to read this with you guys real fast as we go into our adventure of Vision Sunday. Man, I am so pumped to preach this. Okay, I'm so excited. First Chronicles 4, 9 through 10. It's in the Old Testament. We're going to learn about a guy named Jabez. Everyone say Jabez. If we have a boy, I'm going to call him Jabez. No, I'm not. First Chronicles 4, 9 through 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. I wonder if his brothers led this at a later date. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And listen, God granted him his request. Lord, I pray right now for the next few moments that you would be with me as we talk about 2017. I am so excited to see not just what you've done, but where we're going. I'm excited to share vision with our church. It's going to be stretching. It's going to be crazy, but it's going to be rewarding. And I believe that. In the name of Jesus, amen. Before you're seated, help me tell someone the title. I want you to find three people and say, it comes with the territory. Find three people and say, hey, it comes with the territory. Woo, you guys are excited today. It comes with the territory. Praise God, praise God. I'm doing something new today with my preaching, just trying to always get better and trying to let it flow. But man, God put this thing in my heart this week. The enemy has been attacking my family this week. Anytime I tell you that the enemy's, hey guys, anytime I tell you, I said three people, all right, not 40, all right, or come back. We don't need. We're excited this morning. I think we are excited. Anyways, just making room for more people. That's what we do here. So, 1 Chronicles 4, 9, 10 talks about Jabez. And when I tell you that our family is getting attacked, I don't do it for you to feel pity for me. When I tell you that our family got attacked this week, I want you to be encouraged knowing the reason why he attacked is because he's threatened about what's coming out of my mouth today. So I'm excited for what God wants to speak into your heart. And when the enemy attacks, I'm just getting more excited because I know it's going to change some lives today. And that's what I'm praying for in this moment. And so I'm excited. It's been in my heart all week. And the name of this message is called, It Comes With the Territory. The scripture we just read was about this dude named Jabez. I don't know about you, but a lot of people use Twitter. Twitter's a pretty big deal. I don't use it. I have not really gotten into it. All my friends say, why don't you use Twitter? I'm like, because I have a problem with Twitter. Let me tell you my problem. I like Facebook and I like Instagram because I talk a lot. Twitter only gives you 140 characters or less. I mean, I preach for a living, guys. Like, I talk too much. 140 characters, I'll be having like 10 tweets. You can say, this follow on, continue, arrow, continue, arrow, continue, arrow. So I'm like, Facebook, I could write a novel and people would read it and be like, this is good because I don't have to be credited to 140 characters or less. And I think sometimes we don't pray because we think that it's got to be more than 140 characters or less. But when I look at this story, I was like, this prayer that God granted Jabez was a tweet. It was two sentences. How awesome was it to come into God's presence and say, I got two sentences, and I'm going to come with boldness and a prayer that he will answer. And it said God granted his request. Look at it. Let me read it for you one more time. It says in verse 10, Jabez cried out to God of Israel, two sentences, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Everyone say territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. How awesome would it be to know that we just need to literally tweet God our prayers and he can answer them? You see, when we realize this and realize that Jabez, this guy, has two scriptures in the entire Bible, yet they make an account to talk about Jabez and the prayer he prayed. I believe today that our church is praying a prayer that we've been praying since the beginning, and some of you already pray it, is the prayer of Jabez. Lord, that you would enlarge my territory, enlarge my coast, give me more land, be with me, and keep me from the evil one. And I believe he still answers prayers today, but in order for us to understand this, I want to talk about territory. Everyone say territory. If this is your first day, you're going to get really annoyed with me because I ask people to say stuff all the time because we're an interactive church. We talk back to each other. You help me preach, and I heard that I preach faster when people talk back to me. So if you're hungry, and you're new, just give me an amen. Everyone say amen.
Amen.
All right. So territory. Territory. We're going to talk about territory. First off, he says, enlarge my territory. The word territory is an area defended by a team or a player. An area defended by a team or a player. We need to realize that territory, there's two territories when it comes to what we're talking about today. There's no in between. There's not three. There's not four. There's two. There's the kingdom of God, and there's the kingdom of darkness. Just two. He made it very simple for us. There's no in between. And the more we realize this is Jabez was praying not just that he would be rich and prosperous. He was praying that God would increase his influence and his platform. Why? So he could do more for the kingdom of God. And shouldn't we do the same, that we say, you know what, Lord, don't enlarge my territory for my sake, because I can't save anybody. But if you would enlarge my territory, if you would enlarge my finances so I can give more, if you would enlarge my time so I could give more, if you could enlarge everything in my life, my influence and my platform, so you can get the glory, then enlarge my territory. Territory is either the kingdom of God or it's the kingdom of the enemy. And as we talk about territory, I want to let you know that territory is never a vacant place. There's never vacant territory. It's always occupied. Territory has been owned by somebody. Now I'm getting somewhere. Just let me build this up for you. Territory is never an occupied place. It's never a vacant place. It's always occupied. So this means that as our territory is enlarging, someone else's territory is shrinking. As our territory is enlarging, someone else's territory is shrinking. But here's the thing we need to know. Our vacancy in our town leads to the enemy's occupancy in our town. Because remember, there's no middle ground. There's no empty space. It's always being occupied by something. And as the church decides to be vacant in lives of heroin addicts, and the church decides to be vacant of lives who live homosexual lifestyles, and the church decides to be vacant in lives of kids who are running away, as long as we're vacant, the enemy will occupy it. But we got to go in love and share the love that Jesus shared with us first, because your sin is just as bad as theirs. My sin is just as bad as theirs. But if we stay away from it and we criticize everyone, our government and our country has no chance. Because as long as we're vacant from those hard questions, and we're vacant from those hard lifestyles, and we're vacant from the way people are different from us, if our church just sits in these walls, we might as well close it up now, because the church was never meant to buy more buildings. The church was meant to impact their community. And as long as we're vacant, the enemy will occupy it. But if we begin to occupy it, the enemy has to leave, and he becomes vacant to it. Guys, we're doing more than what you think you are. I just posted everything that happened in 2016, and some people just saw numbers. I saw territory being taken. Taken back from what the enemy stole from us. And the reason why Jabez prays this is we got to realize, guys, that while we're here, our vacancy leads to the enemy's occupancy. And now as our church prays, I want to let you know that it's not going to happen on our watch. Not with this passion, not with this drive. We have too many people in here as a church who claim to be believers of Christ to stay vacant in things of this world that we have actually been called to take back. And this is Vision Sunday, and the reason why I'm sharing this so boldly is because, honestly, today I've realized that just this morning someone took some of your territory. Your joy's gone. That was your territory. Your happiness is gone. That was your territory. Your kids and what they're doing, they're gone. That's your territory. Just this week, I saw someone so close to us get territory taken from the enemy. And this person, they decided to cry, and more than most people in here have ever faced in their entire life, and you'll probably never face it. And I looked at this person and watched them as they begin to still praise God, begin to seek him in his word. And what I realized in the song that popped in my head, Liz was talking to this person, and all of a sudden I was just walking around the house because I was praying for this person. And this the song came in. And if this is your first time here, you're not going to know what I'm singing. But sometimes I was raised in the church, and sometimes as crazy as it sounds, I got to go back to it. But I started walking back in the house, and I said, hey, I went to the enemies, and I... What he stole from me, I
took back what he stole from me.
Oh, that sounds corny, but
took back what he
I started singing that in the house, and the person's on the phone going, what is he singing? I was like, listen, whatever was taken from you, God's word said that he's got to give it back 7 times and then some. And if he took it from you, you go and you take it back because it wasn't his in the first place. So many of us, man, I know this isn't good parenting. I have a 3-year-old and a 1.5-year-old, and Charlie is our little one, and she just keeps growing out, not up, but she's so adorable. I don't care, you can judge, she's adorable, and I know, but she is an instigator, as all gets out. I know, because I was the second child. She is an instigator, so when no one's looking, she kind of grabs a toy that Avery's playing with, or she, pulls on her hair, or, you know, she does all these things, and Avery screams and ends up pushing her into a wall, you know, and then Avery gets in trouble, but then we have to tell Charlie, like, hey, you can't do that, but she's, like, 1.5, so she's like, I don't know what you're talking about, but she really does. She really does. And I remember watching this thing break out, and Avery had a toy, and Charlie came up and just and started running. And Avery came to me and said, Dad, she's crying, Charlie took my toy. Now, I know she did the right thing because we teach people, go find a teacher, go find a boss. And this might be good parenting, but I just said, listen, Avery, you are 3 years old. You have almost a foot on that little munchkin. You're both my children. You go back and you take it out of her hands. You're bigger than her. I know it's not good parenting, but it worked for a moment. She walked over, pushed her, grabbed a toy, and said, Dad, look it. But some of you, the enemy took something from you 2 years ago. And you're still crying out, God, he took it from me. They took it. And he's like, I put the spirit of the living God inside of you. You're bigger than that. You need to go and take it back. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back. Come on, some of you don't have joy this morning because you allow the enemy to take it. It's time for you to push him over, use the God-given authority in you, and take it back. Take it back. Territory. Territory. Whatever we are not occupying, whatever we're not occupying, the enemy's going to run in. If you want him to steal your joy, keep complaining about it. Or realize that what's in you is greater than what's against you, and that you can take it back. You can take it back. But Sean, you don't know the trouble I've been in. I might not, but you can take it back. You can take it back. And I believe in our church, there's been some things taken from us. But God, I believe right now that we are taking it back. Some of you need to start in your home. Take it back. Take that home back, Dad. Take that home back, family. Start praying over that place, guys. You need to take it back. You're bigger than he is. He can't hurt you. As we talk about this situation and he says expand our territory, I want you to know that you are in a church who prays for territory to be expanded constantly. And that's what leads us into what I really want to talk to you about. That was just my introduction. Because if you're going to pray for God to enlarge your territory, right? If we are gaining territory, that means the enemy's territory is shrinking. But if you are asking God to enlarge your territory, there's some things that come with the territory. I was talking to one of our authentic kids before. He goes, Sean, you just got to pray for me. I was like, why? He's like, I'm going to be sore the next couple of months. It's like, why? He's like, I'm in football. I'm in baseball. And I'm doing all these things. And I looked at him and said, well, you got to know what you're getting into. I mean, you put helmets on and pads on for a reason. Why? Because it comes with the territory. A lot of us want to pray that God would enlarge our territory, but we don't want what comes with the territory. Oh, I found this out firsthand a lot of times. God, I want to start a church. Okay. Do you know what comes with the territory? Not yet, but let's do this. It's going to be fun. I want out. I want out now. Oh, no one else is bringing that? God, I need a new job. Well, guess what? That boss comes with the territory. Those coworkers come with the territory. The people in your life you're complaining about, they came with the territory that God blessed you with. Oh, man, I'm striking a chord. It got quiet now. I'm taking it back, Sean. I'm taking it. Oh, gosh. When we pray for blessings, God, enlarge my finances. More finances, more temptation. Comes with the territory. I want to get married. Listen. That 1 week, every single month, it comes with the territory. Get her some chocolate, rub her back. We're going back to the series last week. Just kind of filtering it back in. It comes with the territory. Ladies, the times where the husband looks at you dumbfounded, it comes with the territory. They have no idea what you're talking about. This, yes, dear. I guess I'm here to tell some people we pray for God to bless us in larger territory, but I just want to talk about some things that come with the territory so you'll be ready when it comes. Jabez said, Lord, enlarge my territory. As a church, we're praying, God, give us a building. I was so excited to get in this building until I saw a mouse start running around the building. God, this place is a dump. There's things falling over. The worship team was here, and there was stuff leaking from the ceiling. We got exposed this and exposed that. And God began to speak to me. You prayed for this. It comes with the territory. See, a lot of us are scared when we get into the territory. God wants to expand our territory, but we allow the things in the territory to push us back. And not our church. Not our church. So I want to talk about three things that come with the territory when I look at the scripture. The first thing you need to know about what comes with the territory is this. Jabez says in 1 Chronicles 4:10, he says that you would bless me and enlarge. Everyone say enlarge. Enlarge my territory. The first thing about enlarge, if you look up that word, it means stretching. Stretching. I'll tell you what comes with the territory. You already said it. Lord, enlarge my territory. Stretching. It's stretching when God begins to expand things in your life. It's stretching when God begins to open things in your life. It's stretching when these things happen. Pain can come in all different forms. Jabez prayed, Lord, enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. I don't know about you, but I look at the scripture. I'm like, okay, listen, God, I think that you missed out on my answer prayer. I said enlarge my territory. Jabez said he would be free from pain, and you granted his request. I feel pain. I'm going through some pain right now. I feel pain, and I begin to look at the scripture, and I want us to know that this can be very confusing, but let me explain this. When Jabez said, protect me, he was talking about from the evil one. So there's two different kinds of pain. There's pain that the enemy can bring in, or most of the time us, but we blame the enemy. And then there's pain that comes from stretching. And we as a church and we as people need to find out the difference. That, okay, is this pain in my life because of stuff I'm doing, because of sin in my life, because the enemy's attacking? Or is this just pain because I asked that God would bless me and I want to grow my territory and it's just part of the process? You see, there's two. Jabez didn't say, just keep me from all harm's way. Just from pain. He said from harm's way. He's saying, protect me from the evil one. Protect me from Satan, which Jesus showed he would do when he conquered the cross and he conquered the grave. But there's still pain that comes in, and it's from stretching. So what comes with the territory? Stretching comes with the territory. I'm going to pick on my brother a little bit because it's fun and he's in here and he's going to laugh at me. But Shane, that's his name, Shane, Sean, we're 13 months apart. Ask my parents why they call us Shane and Sean so close together. I don't know. You talk with them about it. That's stretching. And Shane hit me up. He's been, this year, he's been, you know, getting his health back on track, been working out. Way to go, Shane. Get that health on track, working out, losing weight, eating salads. Used to be making fun of me for eating salads. Now look where you are, punk. Yeah. I got the mic. Anyways. Now he encouraged me as I was doing that. And now he's in that process. And he texts me one night. I was like, hey, man, how's it going? And he's like, hey, did you ever feel like your intestines were going to fall out? He's like, I can't move. I was like, man, maybe you overdid it. He's like, well, I did like 25 sit-ups on this machine. I was like, nope. You didn't overdid it. You just haven't done it in a long time. He's like, but even at night, like I can't even move because it's just like, ugh. Ugh. And it's like, yeah, your core does everything. Anything you do, it's I mean, everything you do, your core is a part of it. I mean, if you just move your arms during worship, you're clapping. Everything you do is that. So every time you move, you're just feeling those that pain and that stretching. He's just like, I don't want to do it anymore. Like, you know, he's just like, I'm done with it. And I thought about that. I know I've used this kind of analogy before, but he was praying, God, that you would enlarge my territory. I want to be healthy. I want to lose some weight. Give me strength to enlarge my healthy territory. And he's stretching, but his pain isn't because the enemy's coming in saying, oh, I'm going to get you real good. I'm going to throw these things at you. No, his pain came from him doing a workout that came with the territory. But he's still in the gym. Some of us, as soon as that pain hits, we run out because we think it's the enemy bringing pain. And God's saying, no, the reason why I took that person out of your life is so you knew that you could trust me over that person. It may feel like bad pain, but this is actually good pain. They're not in your life anymore, so you could rely on me more than you could rely on them. I know you prayed for territory, but this comes with the territory. If you want to go to the next level, you're going to have to trust me for the next level, not that person, because that person's in that level, they're not in this level. And I will take them out of your life so you can rely on me. I know it's stretching. I know it's painful. But that you're enlarged. Here's something I know. How come enlarging and expanding always makes us uncomfortable? It's weird how the church has become a place where all the believers come to church and they're the comfortable ones, and all the unbelievers and ones far from Christ come to church and they're the uncomfortable ones. That's backwards. Jesus always made the outcast feel comfortable. You can look through your Bible and be like, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. Yeah, he did. Then he said, go and sin no more. But he always went to their house and visited. He always shared grace. He always shared love when people were about to stone them. He said, you're okay. You are comfortable in my presence. And he would rile up the Pharisees. He's saying, you're too comfortable. The church should never have been a place where the believers get comfortable and the unchurched get uncomfortable. We should be in a church saying, I'll do whatever it takes and get uncomfortable to get the people far from Christ in here so they can be comfortable. I guess what I'm trying to say is you prayed for you to be a part of a church and you came here for the first week and you said, I love this place. I'm glad you love it, but stay here long enough, we're going to ask more of you. You're going to have to step up and do something sometimes. You can't just sit and take everything in and not give it to anybody else. God did not design you for that. He designed you to find a church that you could give your life to so you could bring hope to a dying and hurting world. So I don't apologize when we ask too much from our people. Because we were never supposed to be comfortable. The reason the Holy Spirit came was to bring comfort into our life. Why would we need the Holy Spirit if we're always comfortable? I got excited about that one. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me. You don't need him. Your comfort. You're comfortable. Why do you even need him? It's like, I'm not going to send you. You're good. But when you get uncomfortable, I promise I'll send you a comforter. Guys, some of us need to know that what comes with the territory is expanding. Isn't it Luke 9:23 says this? It says, then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way and take up your cross daily and follow me. Jesus, stretching. You want to be a follower of Christ? You got to take up your cross daily. You got to carry that thing. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 9, 26-27. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Paul himself says, there's times I want to do what I want to do, but I realize that sometimes being a follower of Christ is painful. I don't know what you've heard, but being a follower of Christ is not always easy. Most of the time, it's uncomfortable and painful. But the Holy Spirit said, I'll be with you in that. Because anytime you are taking back what the enemy stole from you, he's going to put up a fight. He's threatened by it. We're going to talk about that next. But you need to realize today, and I need to realize, that just because you're going through pain doesn't mean you're necessarily being attacked. It might be because you prayed that prayer 2 weeks ago that God would begin to expand your territory. You know what pain is? When God takes friends out of your life because he wants to bring you new ones. You know what pain is, high school kid? When you stay at home because everyone makes fun of you, when they're out partying and they're doing everything you want, and you have to sit at home and you cry in your bed and you cry on your pillow because you don't feel like you're popular. You don't feel like you're worth, but God looks down and says, no, it may be painful for a season, but the platform I'm going to give you is going to be greater. They're going to be still miserable in the same scene, but because you endured some pain, I'll tell you what pain is. pain is forgiving someone even though they are talking trash about you to everyone in the community. You want to know what pain is? When I have to say, bust their heart, they're amazing, that's awesome. Knowing what they have said about me, knowing what they said about my wife, and knowing what they said about my kids who aren't even three yet. I'll show you what's painful. Loving them and forgiving them and praying for them that God would bless them in no matter what. Because we all make mistakes. God, would you enlarge my territory? Sean, it comes with the territory, character. Integrity, you know what's painful when no one's watching? You know you can just cut numbers to get more money into your account, but you choose not to. It's painful, but he's enlarging your territory. I take up my cross daily. Daily. Why? Because it comes with the territory. Pain from trust. Pain from stretching. The next thing that comes with the territory is threats. Threats. I'm sorry. Last week it was freezing in here. Now I'm like sweating off. I'm sorry. It's like, can someone get on these thermometers and just like cut it off right now? It's hot. I am like, they're going to smell me in a second. So, comes with the territory, guys. You got to go through it. Threats. Jabez prays. He says, he said, Lord, that you would enlarge my territory, keep me from harm, so I'll be free from pain. How many know that every time you take territory, there's always an adversary waiting for you? See, I think of Jericho, and God said, walk around that place for 7 days and then shout, and the place is going to come down. And we get excited about that. That's awesome. But when the walls came down, they still had to march in and fight. When the walls came down, there was still a battle waiting for them. Because every time you take territory, there's a battle waiting for you. My girls have a weird thing they did. We had a 98-pound Chesapeake Bay Retriever, and we gave her to someone else because she could have more time and run more with other dogs and everything like that, because she wasn't getting our time, and we felt bad. And when we had her, our girls had this tendency of loving her cage. You know how you are with kids. Like, you just want to be in forts, and you want to do this. And so we would hear, just from the distance, we would just hear, it's like, babe, did you eat lunch? Babe, did you feed the kids lunch? Right? I look around the corner, and our dog, our 98-pound dog, is in her cage, which we call home. Go home, Riley, because it's her home. It's her comfort place. And the girls are trying to overtake it, right? Like, Charlie's like trying to get underneath of her and like crawling under her legs. Avery's like pushing her by the butt, like, get in there. I don't know if Avery was gonna get in with her, or when she's in, was gonna be like, whoop, bye. Like, but all I know is that as soon as our dog, who's a territorial dog, we had to teach them how to stay away from their territories. This is Riley's territory. But every time that territory was overstepped, we heard a, and I want to let you know that what you're hearing right now is because you're overstepping territory, and the growl of Satan is just, you're not good enough. You know what you did in your past? Oh, you think now you can help people who are addicts, even though you've been sober for 2 years? You need more time than that. Oh, you really think you're going to make a difference? Look how much hurt you have. Why? Every time the enemy begins to growl in your head, you know for that time that you've just stepped into his territory. And he's like, oh no. Why? Because he feels threatened. Do you know why my dog growled at my girls? Because she felt her territory was threatened. That's why I get so excited that when we catch new vision as a team, when we begin to do something that actually is valuable, all of the threats and the growls come out. But I've learned that God said something else. He says, why don't you just flip it? We spend so much time listening to the threats of the enemy. How about when the enemy steps into your territory, you growl back. You say something back. You say, listen. I'm helping some people right now because you are trying to take territory. And you say, God, I want to get clean from this. I want to get better from this. I want to grow in this. And every time you step into the enemy's territory, you hear the growls in your head. But he's saying, no, flip it. You need to start growling back. He's threatened. That's why jealous people attack you. You know why people are attacking you? It's because they're threatened by you. My whole high school, I had people attacking me, and it didn't take me until 25 years of age to realize, oh, now I get it. They couldn't stand that I was nice to people. They couldn't stand that I could go to a party and choose not to go crazy. They couldn't stand it. They couldn't stand that I was so comfortable in my own skin that I didn't care what people said. Why? They're threatened. So next time you're going through attack, by the way, or if you're attacking, you might want to check your heart and say, am I jealous of this person? Because chances are you are, because we feel threatened when people come into our territory. That's why as a church, when I praying in here this morning and I send a text to Jerry Bartholomew at PBC and I send the new pastor, Joel Payne, over at the Assembly of God, say, hey, I just want to let you know that we're taking territory together. Why? Because the enemy wants you to think you're competing and you begin to attack churches and other Christians and other Christians, and the enemy says, I just got to sit back and let them do their work themselves. But he said, no, this is a kingdom initiative. And he said, that's crazy that when you pray for me, I was praying over for the Northwest. Right when I parked in, I literally was praying for you and you sent me a text at the same exact time. I'll tell you why. So I could tell you today, we shouldn't be threatened by other churches. It's bogus. What we should be threatened by is that the enemy is putting drugs into our town. What we should be threatened by is that the enemy is bringing hate into our town. What we should be threatened by is there's been depression and suicide in our town. And as long as we're going against each other, we'll miss out on that. And we keep taking over the same territory, and we need to start stepping into the enemy's territory. And even though he growls, he may threat, he may say something, he may snap back at you, but I'm going to talk to you about something, because even though the threats come with the territory, I'll tell you one more thing that comes with the territory, and it's this word, authority. Authority. We may have stretching, we may have threats, but we also have authority. Authority. I love this. It says in Luke 10:17-20, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. There's the evil harm. Not the stretching harm, the evil harm. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Like, Sean, how will we not be harmed when death still happened to these people? The disciples that Jesus is talking to right now, a lot of them were crucified and beaten and flogged and murdered. You have to look at the grave. Jesus conquered death so death wouldn't conquer us. So we literally are heaven focused in everything we do. Jesus, this is Jesus talking. He sends out 72 of his disciples. Like, I thought there was 12. At this time, he had followers, and he sent them out. He says, I give you the authority. I want you to go into town and take territory. That's what he's saying. Go heal the sick. Go preach the gospel. If people invite you in, go in. Don't ask for food. Let them feed you. And they go on their ministry tour, and they begin to heal, and they begin to see people saved. They begin to preach the gospel, and they begin to talk about Jesus because of the authority he gave. And they came back saying, whoa, that was nuts. We had the same authority that you have. Everything we've seen you do, we were doing. And it was awesome. He said, even the demons listen to us. Oh, they had to like flee at your name. They had to stop convulsing people. They had to leave. And I had the same authority, Jesus. And he said this. He said, I have given you the authority to trample on scorpions and snakes. In the last few weeks, and I'm not going to lie to you, I've been hearing the threats. I've been hearing the lies of the enemy. And God showed me the scripture. And he said this to me. He said, Sean, the reason why I chose scorpions and serpents is because they're animals that attack when they are threatened. He had a mission for them. Go expand the kingdom of God. And as long as you're on that mission, I will give you the authority to step over scorpions and to step over serpents. Maybe the reason why you're not stepping over these things is because you're not on mission. Mission and authority go hand in hand. When we ask you to serve, when we ask you to give, when we ask you to be like Jesus, it's not just so we can get something out of you. It's because we want you to be able to trample over the same things we're trampling over. But if you're not on mission, you don't have the authority. But if you're on mission to build God's kingdom and to build a church and to go and make disciples, he said nothing can stop you. You are an unforgettable force. Even the gates of Hades will not prevail. I'll tell you why there's so many people who don't have authority, because they're not on mission. We beat each other up in the church. We don't want to give anything to the church. We don't want to do anything for the church. And we wonder why we're attacked all the time. And we can't win because submission and authority goes with the mission. If a drill sergeant says, I will give you all the ammunition you need. I'll give you all the airstrikes you need. I'll give you everything you need to do to accomplish the mission I'm about to give you, you're going to go. You better believe if you stay on mission, that colonel is going to order whatever he needs to get that mission done. But as soon as you say, you know what? I don't want to save Private Ryan right now. I'm going to go over here and do something else. As soon as you step away from his authority, he's not going to initiate airstrikes. Why? Because you aren't under authority. But when you're under authority, you better be sending, he's sending the whole artillery in. If you are reaching a loss, God's going to provide for this thing. He's going to give you the spirit to get this thing done. He's going to give you the energy and strength you need when you want to give up, when you want to quit, when you say, I'm not good enough to do this. He says, no, you're on mission. I'm going to give you everything you need. Some of you can't take care of the attacks because you're not on mission. And my job as a pastor is to say, if you are a believer of Christ, if you've made this your home church, if you haven't, find a home church. Well, I don't like this church and what it does. That's fine. Find a church to get a part of that you can serve and give. And don't just leave because you're mad because I ask you to serve and give. Because the church you go down to is looking for people to serve and give to. Jesus himself prayed, the laborers and the workers are few. Even Jesus was short of volunteers. He needs some people to rise up and say, it's not about me. It's about the drug addicts. It's about the outcasts. It's about the misfits. It's about the people who aren't in here yet. Pray for the workers. Pray for the volunteers. Pray for the kids directors and the kids leaders. Pray that the money would come in. Expand our territory. Expand it, Lord. Because here's the thing. If you don't step up, God can still do it. You're just going to miss out. And I love that our church is banding together. Sorry, I had to get that all out. If this is your first time here, I usually don't get that loud, but you better get used to it because I'm getting my vision back. I'm getting my mission back. I'm telling God, this is what I'm here to do. Heaven and hell and high water can try coming in, but God said, as long as you're on mission, buddy, you can go to the enemy's camp, and you can take back everything his. You might as well write devil on the bottom of your soul, because that's exactly where he is, on the bottom of your feet. You just keep walking, because as long as you're on mission, the attacks might come in, but I've given you authority over those attacks. And he goes on to say this, but don't even focus on the authority. Focus that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So when we go out and do this, don't be like, oh, I got the authority of Christ. No, I've been saved by Christ. I don't deserve this authority, but he gave it to me in the first place. And I'm here to tell you about it. It has changed my life. Stretching may come with the territory. Threats may come with the territory. But by God, if we're on mission, we have the authority of Christ in our territory, and we can take back everything the enemy meant to harm. And guys, I'm here to tell you that we are taking territory back as a church, one person at a time, one family at a time, one city at a time, one county at a time. Oh, this isn't going to stop here. We have more to do for the kingdom of God. And my goal is that when you go to heaven, that you have a big smile on your face because you got a part of something that was bigger than yourself. You're welcome. I'm not apologizing for it because it's an amazing thing to be a part of. Matthew 10:26 says this, but don't be afraid of those who threaten you, for the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. Lord, expand our territory. God heard Jabez's prayer, and I believe he's hearing ours right now. And he's going to expand this thing. And so as a church, I'm going to invite my wife up and the worship team up as we're closing. As a church, I just want to share a little bit about 2017, because here's the thing. I'm going to share some things with you about territory we're going to take, and guess what's going to happen? You're going to feel stretched, because I'm going to ask some big things of our church. You're going to feel stretched. You're going to feel threatened because you feel like you can't do it, but here's one thing. Not one person can do it. All of us together can do it. But we got to know that God's given our church authority as long as we're on mission to look like Jesus in our everyday life. And you know what Jesus did? Came to seek and save those who are lost. We're never more like Christ when we serve, when we give, and when we reach the lost. And so I just want to share a couple things with you guys as we are really short on time, but I had to get that all out. That was a good. Did you guys receive that today? Is that something that you enjoy? Every person is more territory for the kingdom of God. If you're here and you're trying to say, are you just calling me territory? No, I'm calling you a person that is loved by God. The whole reason why we pour $307,000 into our account and take it right back out, the whole reason why we pray and seek and do all this is for you, if this is your first time, to let you know that the love of God is so vast. You're not territory. Every person is territory, but every person has a story. And I had a story, and the church reached me. Every person is more territory for the kingdom of God. So the first thing I want us to bring up, first and foremost, for some new things coming up, is on Easter Sunday, we will be doing three experiences, starting on Saturday, April 15th at 5 p.m., and then April 16th at 9:30 and 11:15. And we're believing that God will just use us to bring the gospel to many people. Sean, Easter is when people who only go to Easter and Christmas, at least they're here. So we will be having three experiences, which means if you're not serving yet, and you've been a part of this church for 2 years, a year, or you call this your home church, now is the time. Get in some type of rotation. The authentic kids leaders have been watching your kids for 3 years, and you have yet to jump in on it. I touched a button there for a second. Partner with them. Partner. And if you're not good with kids, we'll find something else for you, because I don't want you watching my kid. Anyways, I don't do well with kids. One thing that God's been putting on our heart is that we want to be a church of 500 people by the end of this year. Not just reach 500. We're at 3 to 350. We want to see God bless us over 100 to 150 people in this place. Like, oh, it is about them. Yeah, it is. Because when we get there, we are going to start planning to plant another church in a different county, in a different town. Because there's more places in the rural areas that need Jesus. Not that we're better than any other church. We just feel God's calling us to not just keep this here, but to plant it in other communities that they can impact as well. We're not going to tell you where that is yet. We already know where it is. But first and foremost, we want to be a church of 500 people. Reaching 500 people. Not just finding people in churches and telling them to come on over. We're talking about people who need Jesus. People who need Jesus. In order for us to do that, one of the big things that we're in right now is we got to finish this building, guys. We got to finish this thing. And it's going to cost money. We know we got in it, but it comes with the territory. We knew we were buying a jacked up bar, and already people have worked their tails off to get it to where it is right now. So we're thankful for that. We're thankful. The next 3 weeks, we're starting a series called Larger Than Life, and we'll be talking more in depth about the need that we have to meet to finish up the lobby in here, in the kids' areas, and we also want to finish the outside. We already have people in our community asking if they can use this for their sporting events and for things like that, and we believe that that's something that we would love to do because we want to be here for the community, not to hide from the community. We want to do whatever we can, and if we have to open it up for people, and we can serve them in any way we can, but we have to finish this thing. And guys, I'm going to tell you already, it's probably going to cost, if not more, around 30 grand to do what we want to do, to finish up phase two of this place. $30,000. And I'm not shy about asking for it, because I know when we get together and do our part and we listen to God, he's going to do it just like we got in this thing, because you guys are crazy, and I love it. I love it. And so we want to finish that because we believe when we finish the outside, people will be like, oh, they must have done something on the inside. Because people would still look at the outside like, when are they going to change this thing, right? So when spring comes, we're going to attack the outside so that when people drive by, they see a place that brings hope. They see a place that shines out. They see a place where they want to be a part, and they have to check it out just because we were excellent with what we have.